Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So have you ever thought about opening up your own food truck in New York City? Well, up until this week, you may have had to turn to the black market in order to get the necessary permit. With us now is WNYC reporter Ilya Meretz to explain just how food truck owners get their permits and why that might be changing. Hey, Ilya.
Hi, Brian.
Why do food trucks need permits?
So a permit, I like to think of it as a driver's license. It's not actually a permission to drive the vehicle, but it says that the authorities know who you are and they have ascertained that you, yes, you can be permitted to sell prepared food on the street of New York. I should be clear, it's not really about hygiene. It's just that you have registered with them as a business and as a vehicle owner selling food on the streets.
So how do food truck owners obtain these permits?
Well, very infrequently is the answer. There's a wait list. It's actually been closed since 2007 because there are so many names on that wait list. It's over 1,000 names. Every so often, every year, you know, a small number of permits are given up and a small number of new permits are then given out to the top people on that wait list. But what I was curious to learn in my reporting was how all these kind of gourmet food trucks that you see on the streets, how they got there, because a lot of them are pretty new arrivals, like in the last 3 or 4 years. And I knew anecdotally that it's very, very hard to get a permit the proper way from the authorities. And what I learned is that there's a huge thriving black market and that you can buy one of these things there.
So who's selling on the black market? Who gets these permits and how and what do they sell them for?
Basically, we have a supply and demand problem, right? There's a ton of demand for the permits. The supply is small. And then there's this weird wrinkle of price because the price of a permit is set by the government at just $200. So what a lot of existing permit holders have found, maybe somebody who was selling hot dogs in the 70s decides to go into retirement, give it up, and they have found that it's actually pretty easy to transfer their permit to someone else for a pretty hefty fee, about $18,000-$20,000, and you know, make that money and never actually give up the permit itself.
Now, I see that one of the truck owners who you interviewed for your story is calling in. So we're going to take this call from Ed Song, who owns the Corilla Food Trucks that sell burritos and tofu tacos. And yes, this truck sometimes stops across the street from our studios here in Lower Manhattan. Ilya, that was a nice assignment you got. Ed, thanks a lot for calling up.
So thank you for having me, Brian.
Can you tell us some of your own story in your own words? How did you get your permit and how did you pay for it?
I'm sorry, could you repeat yourself?
How did you get your permit and how much did you pay for it?
Well, you know, in general, we run three Corilla trucks. When we first started out, we had only one, and then we expanded to two more. When we first started out, we kind of had no idea how things were, what the lay of the land was. So, you know, we had to kind of ask around and ask people that were already in the industry, and the common consensus was that, you know, there was this great market. And it is true that you're going to have to fork over, a brown bag full of money to somebody that you might have just met 5 minutes ago, if you want to get into this industry. So that was the risk that we took, and that's a risk that, you know, a lot of us that our industry takes.
And in your case, I understand it was about $20,000, and you paid it all in cash, so it really was a brown bag. Really a brown bag transaction. How did you know that this person wasn't just a scalper of something counterfeit, for that matter?
You know, that's, like I said, again, that's the risk that we take, and I think it's really unfair, I guess, for people that are food truck operators that kind of have to take this risk, especially people that don't have this permit or haven't had this permit in their family or, you know, within an arm's reach. So it's sort of unfair, and that was just the name of the game.
Does your permit expire at a certain point?
Yeah, the permits expire every 2 years. The one that I'm talking about in particular has already expired.
And so can you go right to the city and say, I have this permit, and just get it for the official rate, or do you have to go back to your dealer?
Right. I mean, if we wanted to go ahead and renew it, yeah, we wouldn't be able to go to the city, the New York City Department of Mental Health and Hygiene, and renew it.
Because you don't really own your permit. You kind of lease
it. That's
correct. Yeah.
That's
well,
correct.
Thank you very much, Ed Song, who owns the Corilla Food Trucks, which sell burritos and tofu tacos. And that's, I don't know, what country are we living in? We're not supposed to have this kind of black market system.
I just need to add, Ed Song is extraordinarily brave, and I got really lucky finding him for my story. Very few food vendors will go on the record. A lot of them are happy to talk to you on background, and they'll say this is a very uncomfortable, unpleasant thing to do. And you sort of lose a little bit of your self-respect, I think, when you make a backroom deal. But Ed Song in particular, I think, felt that it was an issue that deserved attention, and he was willing to take that risk. So I'm grateful to him for doing that. You know, in terms of what kind of country we live in, the health department really does do its best, and they have told me that their main focus is sanitary conditions, and they want to make sure that the food being served is safe for people to eat. It's not going to give them foodborne illness. And from what I understand, they do very robust inspections in that respect.
In fact, didn't they just announce revised health inspections for food trucks this week?
Yeah, this is a pretty broad revision, actually. So it touches on permitting. It touches on the size of carts. It touches on where the carts go to and trucks go to sleep at night. And there's also a lot of particulars on how food is handled.
Is this issuance of new rules going to clean up the black market permitting system?
I have my doubts, because I think when the government limits the quantity of something very valuable and then sets the price artificially low, it's very hard to eliminate a black market. The fundamental change that they're making is demanding that the permit holder show up in person when they renew every 2 years. Well, that's one day out of 700 days that they have to actually show up and be photographed and give over their personal information. The other 699 days, or whatever number of days it is, they might still not be all that involved. So I think they might need to go further if they really want to clamp down.
What does a citywide parking permit, does a citywide food truck permit allow you to park?
Not a lot of places. Other reporters have done a lot more reporting on this than I have, including NPR's Robert Smith. But basically, it's very hard to find a legal place to park your food truck in New York. Last year, a court ruled that metered parking spaces are not, in fact, legal, which a lot of people had believed that they were, to park in and sell food. So what I've observed is that a lot of food trucks now are sort of banding together and trying to find lots, commercial lots, that will host them. There's one down the street from us on Varick and Canal, owned by Trinity Real Estate, our landlord, where they've invited food trucks in. And a similar thing has happened at the World Financial Center, I think outside of the Goldman Sachs building. There's a rotation of food trucks there. So increasingly, they're actually sort of trying to find hosts rather than kind of cowboy it and find a space on the street.
So you can't just park in front of the local diner and compete?
Generally, no. I've been told it's almost impossible to find a legal place to park where people will actually walk by and then buy your burgers. That's very, very difficult to find.
In other words, a legal parking spot is not likely to be on a major enough thoroughfare that is going to give you the business you're after?
Exactly.
Do you think there are any public health implications for this permitting mess? I know you said this is just about who gets to own the trucks and things like that, but I think what the public is probably most concerned about is the question, is this food safe?
I have not heard of any incidents where an illegal permit transfer resulted in people eating unsafe food or in any way being harmed. I think the main harm is probably to public trust and to the way this industry is working. If you think about it, if you're starting a business and your first act in starting that business is handing somebody a paper bag full of $100 bills, that's just not a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
If there were to be an incident, however, with a food truck, let's say the gas canister exploded or somebody tried to poison someone, I don't want to sound unreasonably alarmist, but, you know, things can happen. it's not clear to me that the health department would necessarily be able to identify the owner of that business. So that is a real concern.
There you go. And that's why, according to these new rules that came out this week, or maybe that's one reason, that permit holders will have to appear in person now every 2 years in order to renew.
That's right. And they'll also be asked to show in a variety of ways that they're in fact involved in the business. Because the truth is, a permit holder is not expected to be in the cart every day at all hours. They can hire people. Ed Song has hired lots of people to work in his three trucks. I think he's probably not in his trucks all the time. I interviewed him in an office in Ridgewood, Queens. However, the permit holder must be the business owner and the owner of that truck.
I think we have somebody from the Food Truck Association calling in. David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
I just wanted to check in. Obviously, the permit issue is a huge problem within the industry, but there's a bunch of other things we've been working to try and advocate for. And one in particular is what you brought up about parking, allowing vending on the streets of New York City. These permits, while they are ostensibly citywide permits, there's very few parking spaces where trucks are allowed to park. And the other huge challenge that vendors face in the way vending is done these days is every individual employee on these vehicles needs their own mobile food vending license, and these licenses can take 6 to 8 weeks to obtain, and that's a very long time to wait for a job that pays about the same as a Starbucks job. So we're hoping that we can work with the city and the DOH to have a broader view in coming up with better regulations for the industry as a whole.
And David, this is Ilya. When you talk about the licenses, those are for handling food, right, as opposed to the permits?
Yeah, the way we typically think about it is the permit is for the vehicle and the license is for the individual. And the license requirements are quite wide and varied. So there is a food handling component to it, similar to a restaurant. In a restaurant, you need one food handler for an entire restaurant. So if you have a staff of 30, there's going to be one person on site that by law has to have the food handling component. On a truck, each individual person will have to have the food handling component, but the mobile food vending license, in addition to the food handling component, it also requires that you have your own individual sales tax certificate of authority to collect sales tax in New York State, that you've paid any child support.
And David, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're flat out of time. So, Ilya, anything on that in 10 seconds?
No, just that in the next 30 days, the public's going to have a chance to comment on these draft regulations. And I hope if you're interested that you do.
And WNYC's Ilya Meritz did the story on this. I presume people can hear it at WNYC.org.
Sure can.
Thanks a lot, Ilya.
Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Alana Casanova-Burgess produced this program with help from Reem Nasser. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. And Debbie Fountain and Leora Noam Kravitz tag teaming at the audio controls. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Brian Lehrer.